Some secrets are kept in the basement, others in the morgue. Welcome to Hidden Killers with Tony Bruschi, featuring defense attorney and host of the podcast, Defense Diaries, Bob Mata.
The trial of Richard Allen is coming up fairly soon. He's, of course, a man accused of being the Delphi murderer. We've talked endlessly about this case, and we've talked endlessly about Odinism and third-party culprits and all the possibilities that could exist here. And Richard Allen could very well be the culprit. We just don't know yet. That's why we're going to have a trial. But what we have learned in the last week is Judge Gull, as she typically does, denies everything that the defense throws their way. And this is a big one. This is the Odinism, cult-related evidence, third-party suspect. And there are third-party legitimate people here that should probably be examined. Well, that's not going to go into the trial. Surprise, surprise. Joining me to discuss, Bob Mata, defense attorney, host of the podcast Defense Diaries. How is this going to impact Richard Allen's trial?
It's got all the earmarks of a railroad job with the one kind of intangible is that, maybe he's the guy,
maybe,
you know, but yeah. It's like maybe he is the dude, but why are we railroading him? Why can't we have an honest process where, look, you know, this whole argument that there's no nexus, you know, and the nexus has to be created with, you know, or it has to be shown with admissible evidence. It can't be hearsay, speculation, and all those kind of things. Like maybe I'm just blind. Maybe it's because I'm a defense attorney. I see nexuses with the individuals that they named all over the place.
Everything.
It seems to me what Gull is saying is that they essentially have to solve the crime with just stone cold definitive evidence in order to bring the defense. So they essentially have to say, okay, yeah, even though the cops couldn't do it, we, the defense attorneys and our investigator, were able to place two of these individuals at the bridge that day. That's just not how that works. Mm-hmm. If they had that type of evidence, those dudes would be under arrest. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? It's you're a third party culprit thing. The nexus isn't, oh, you have to prove beyond a reasonable doubt that they did it in order to bring it up. That's not what a nexus is.
No.
People are conflating what a nexus is, and it's driving me nuts. You look at even if they had gone the way that Judge Bev did, you know, like in that case, she was not going to allow them to present it as their defense during their case in chief. What she said is, I'm going to allow you to develop it through cross-examination during the state's case in chief, when they put people on the stand. Mm-hmm. And then we'll take it as it comes if I start to see that there's a nexus there. And for her just to shut it down, completely, I've said it on my own channel and I'm going to say it on this channel, short of the 61 confessions turning out to be so powerful and so filled with facts that only the killer could know, short of that, where that outweighs the fact that she's violated his constitutional right to put on a defense, it's that bare bones. Mm-hmm. She's not allowing him to put on a defense.
Yeah.
Short of that, he's going to get a new trial.
Yeah.
He's convicted. Like the only thing that will outweigh it is if the appellate court looks at it and all right, well, we get it. We get that he should have been allowed to bring these other individuals into the mix. The defense should have been able to do it. Maybe they are involved. Maybe they're somehow in cahoots with him. But we feel very comfortable about the result that the jury came back with. Mm-hmm. Because of these confessions.
Yeah.
Because he said things that only the killer could know. So that's really going to be the only way that, in my estimation, that they're going to avoid a retrial on this thing because of this decision. And it's not just the Odinism and, you know, the individuals they name that they believe are Odinists, but it's Ron Logan. Can't bring him up.
Yeah.
Who I always thought was a very powerful suspect still.
Yes.
To this day, who's dead. I mean, if you're the defense, blame the dead guy. He's not here to defend himself.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
They found girls on his property. He lied about his alibi. They thought enough of him as a suspect that they got a search warrant on his house. I mean, the guy has warts. He has a violent past.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, I mean, there's the things like the Kagan Klein and Tony Klein, the two Anthony Schatz guy who, you know, says this crazy shit that they were out there with his, you know, him and his father were driving a red Jeep, like down on Ron Logan's property, and that his father got out of the car and he came back bloodied with a knife, and that they threw the knife and the phone in the river. It's like, he's coming up with this shit. It's like,
there's a lot of shit there. That's like, that doesn't mean anything.
There's a lot of shit there.
And the question
becomes, how do you defend him? Right.
Yeah.
Now that she's aced all that. And I've been saying it for 2 months. I'm like, but before I get there, the other thing that no one's talking about, which everyone should be talking about, is the fact that she denied them to be able to bring in the geofencing data. So if you know anything about the case, you know that they got discovery that showed that there was geofencing data that came in that showed that there were 3 or 4 people on or around where the girls were found at or around the time that the girls were thought to have been killed by the state. Mm-hmm. And she has now said that I'm excluding that. You can't bring in the geofencing data. I have no idea why or how she came to that conclusion.
Is she an Odinist? Is she like the queen Odinist or something?
I don't know, dude. Like, I have no idea, man. Like, all I can say is, like, at least with the Odinism angle and those third party culprits, like, she used some semblance of the law as to why she denied it, claiming that there wasn't a nexus that was sufficient that could be proven with admissible evidence at trial. Like, so at least she hung her hat on that. Like, at least she's got some law in terms of that decision there. She didn't cite any cases. You know, she didn't rely on any actual precedent. She just made a kind of a bold proclamation that finding that there's no nexus and blah, 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 blah. With the geofencing thing, she just flat out denies it. Mm-hmm. Just considers it one of the numbers 9 through 12 and says, I'm denying it. Doesn't really give a basis in the law for why she's doing it. I was at the hearings. There was no expert put on by the state saying that this is unreliable, that this is forensically unreliable, scientifically unreliable, that the area which can be encompassed with a geofence is so massive that, because that was the only argument that was made by McClelland at the hearing. The prosecutor, he says, oh, well, we don't trust the geofencing. We don't even use that in our warrants because it's so unreliable. It could be anywhere from 5 yards to 250. It could incorporate the entire town of Delphi. You can't trust that. So, but everything that I know about geofencing is that's absolutely incorrect.
Yeah.
The geofencing was created by Google is literally a way to advertise for businesses. If you were entering into like a geofenced area, say for instance, you're in the mall and you're walking by a store that has said, hey, Google, whenever somebody in the mall walks by our store, when they're looking at their phone, we want an ad for a 20% coupon to pop up.
Yep.
Hey, come on in. So that's what geofencing, it came out as initially as a money-making thing. And then law enforcement's like, wow, this is pretty handy. So a majority of the time, it's law enforcement or prosecutors that are seeking to have the geofencing put in. And it's the defense attorneys that are seeking to have it kept out.
Mm-hmm.
It's very unusual that it's a prosecutor's office that's saying, no, 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 we don't want that in. And it's the defense saying that we do want it in. It's
because it doesn't work for them. If it doesn't work for them, then they're seemingly, they are very much cherry picking this whole damn case.
You're in the thick of a true crime saga, every detail sinking in. And then, wham, a commercial about something you couldn't care less about. It's like being served a microwaved dinner at a five-star restaurant. But it doesn't have to be this way. Go for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. With True Crime Today, Premium Plus, you get uninterrupted, ad-free episodes, extended interviews that dig even deeper into the muck, and early access so you can brag to your friends. It's like ordering the secret menu at a crime buffet. So, search for True Crime Today, Premium Plus, on Apple Podcasts. Subscribe and savor every twisted detail without interruption.